afternoon, everyone, and welcome. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting at republicbroadcasting.org. Today is Monday, February 27th, 2023. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and this is Beyond the Official Narrative. And, well, we'll see if we have our regular Monday co-host joining. It seems at the middle, at the moment, there's a little technical glitch, or perhaps he's just running a bit behind. But, well, it is Monday, and so never without news circulating, or at least that which is presented as legitimate. But I don't know what is most important. You know, we have some people continually concerned about the beating of the war drums from the U.S. and NATO. I caught an interesting show with, I thought it was a new show, Patrick and Paul from last night. And it was a good discussion. Patrick currently seems very concerned, a bit more than usual, a doomsday tone in his voice. You know, so yeah, a lot of people are really seeing this as escalating out of control. I mean, recently in past weeks, Macron was out there claiming that Russia would not be able to defeat Ukraine. And yet today, even no less, I have an article in front of me from Consortium News. Western leaders privately admit Ukraine can't win the war. And we're told that Western leaders privately told Ukraine President Zelensky Ukraine cannot win the war against Russia and that it should begin peace talks with Moscow this year in exchange for closer ties with NATO. And so, of course, these private communications are at odds with private statements from Western leaders routinely saying they will continue to support Ukraine for as long as it takes until it achieves victory on the battlefield. Wall Street Journal has a quote of Zelensky. Let's see. Well, actually, they're reporting on the private remarks to Zelensky, rather. Okay. Quote, the public rhetoric masks deepening private doubt among politicians in the UK, France, and Germany that Ukraine will be able to expel the Russians from eastern Ukraine and Crimea, which Russia has controlled since 2014, and a belief that the West can only help sustain the war effort for so long, especially if the conflict settles into a stalemate, officials from the three countries said. We keep repeating that Russia mustn't win, but what does that mean? If the war goes on for long enough with this intensity, Ukraine's losses will become unbearable, a senior French official said, and no one believes they will be able to retrieve Crimea, unquote. And then they're referring to Macron in this article, too. French President Emmanuel Macron and German Chancellor Olaf Scholz told Zelensky at the Elysee Palace dinner earlier this month he must consider peace talks with Moscow, the journal reported. According to its source, the newspaper quoted Macron as telling Zelensky that, quote, even mortal enemies like France and Germany have to make peace after World War II. Macron told Zelensky, quote, he has been a great war leader. He had been a great war leader, but that he would eventually have to shift into political stalemateship and make difficult decisions, unquote. The newspaper further reported. They have a lot of quotes in here, really. At the Munich Security Conference last week, General Petr Pavel, the Czech Republic's president-elect and a former NATO commander said, quote, we may end up in a situation where liberating some parts of Ukrainian territory may deliver more loss of lives than will be bearable by society. There might be a point where Ukrainians can start thinking about another outcome, unquote. And even when he was a NATO commander, Pavel was a realist in regard to Russia. During controversial NATO war games with 31,000 troops on Russia's borders in 2016, the first time in 75 years that German troops had retraced the steps of the National Socialist invasion of the Soviet Union, Pavel dismissed hype about the Russian threat to NATO. Pavel, who was the chairman of NATO's military command at the time, told the Brussels press conference that, quote, it is not the aim of NATO to create a military barrier against broad-scale Russian aggression, because such aggression is not on the agenda and no intelligence assessments suggest such a thing, unquote. And it goes on, but yeah, I don't want to put people in a trance. You get the idea there. And yet, and it's interesting, I mean, I got this other article. Antiwar.com has this one. Zelensky says Ukraine is preparing to attack Crimea. Now, you know, a lot of people debate, was Hitler controlled? Was he not? Did he put Germany on a suicide course to attack Russia? I mean, you know, people in my circles even have some era of this mindset. I've heard many argue very reasonably that there was going to be an invasion from Russia. It was inevitable. So it was a preemptive strike. You know, some forces were tied up. Of course, Italy had its own battles with more, Southeast nations at the same time. You know, they were kind of spread out as far as the decisions for, attacking from multiple directions and when they did that. Then, of course, there's the Russian winter aspect. But there's, you know, I don't know. I think there's room for debate on the side that Hitler just did all the only thing that was left to do. But in this case, this would be Zelensky, who doesn't have forces. I mean, you know, Hitler had, I mean, you know, the German technology. You know, he had, in theory, Italy and Japan and others, including North Africans and all sorts of others on his side. Okay, but Zelensky here, you know, they're using up the ammo and supplies faster than they can build them, we're finding at this point, a year on. And all it would be doing is forcing everyone to go in. It would be like Israel attacking Iran to force the U.S. and NATO to back them in the retaliation from Iran, because they wouldn't be able to handle what retaliation there would be on their own. That's basically what I see here. There's no way you could see the forces having any chance. But for Zelensky, if he really did attack Crimea, of course, and there was retaliation of whatever sort, then in the heat of the moment, with a fast decision process, I'm sure they could more easily pressure European leaders, and certainly in the U.S. here and in Canada. But, of course, we've mostly seen what? The U.S. and U.K. And then token gesture from Poland, maybe. A lot of talk from France. I don't know how much they've contributed with gear or money. But I don't think much for France's side. Looks like Paul's trying to connect, so he's having some issues over there. We'll see when he can get on here. If someone would like to call in the meantime, you know, I could take a call early, especially on some topics that we're bringing up here today. You know, while we were all distracted, I should point out, this past month, with so many other things like contamination from train derailments, propaganda about Chinese killer balloons, and of course this wartime economy and propaganda. We had IAF attacking in Gaza, rocket sirens were in South Israel. That was February 14th, and it's amazing just how often, you know. Let's go beat up on Gaza while everyone's distracted. It's just such a common thing. And then, of course, we have, well, a lot of conflict over by Syria. But that's not in the news cycle. You know, that is not to be referenced. It would not be kosher, of course. And I don't know, is there much more to say on the, I mean, I read as much as I really wanted to from the one article, Okay, so now Paul's claiming he's connected but can't hear anyone. That's weird because I don't see him on the call. It doesn't show that he's part of the call I created here. So, I don't know. We'll see what's going on with him. But, I could shift a little to this. I mean, some people are saying that just like all of the warnings of running out of food could be hyped, a lot of the massive deaths to expect from the mRNA might be slightly hyped. I think in the long term, they aren't hyped, but it's so long term for a good enough percentage of them. We're talking 5 to 10 years, and from a host of different end results, that would be, the symptoms, not the cause, that would be diagnosed and they might die from. It's harder and harder to prove, or you just as well could. As far as the food, they always want to keep you in fear of everything. And I think the food, the climate, constant wartime, these are all necessary. And, of course, the threat of white supremacy, the need for more critical race theory and laws against this sort of discrimination, of course, anti-Semitism laws and any sort of protection possible for people of color. But I don't know, there are still quite a few who are, even around our circles, independent media, even around here, who are saying this is going to be a big thing, the food shortages. I mean, we've seen so many. What, like Mexico even had fires at 3 plants of the same company, 2 in Mexico, 1 in Texas. Robert Ravel, I believe, was just reporting on that. That could have been also directed against them for getting cool on some of these plans lately. But overall, when you look at the amount of different, food processing plants taken down or bought out, the amount of farmers unable to crop, the amount of harm done. Ever since COVID era, we've seen an increase in a lot of these. Coincidental, just how, more than coincidental, by far, just how many of these incidents have happened in recent, even like days apart sometimes, not just weeks. It reminds me of when we were hearing about all the holistic doctors suicided, right? It was probably around 2010 or something, 10, 15 odd years ago. It was like, really, you were hearing a lot about it, maybe even 10 years ago, more or less. Let's see, I don't know. Do we have any better? I don't know. We're still seeing what's going on with Paul. We have someone joining, though, in the meantime. James in Vancouver, I see, is on the line. Hey, James, how are you doing today?
Yo.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, is it cold up there?
Yeah, I got snow here. It came in Saturday night, and by Sunday morning, we had 2 feet of the damn stuff, and it's still here. And so I don't know. And that's going to last a couple of days, maybe. Hopefully, it'll melt out.
What are the worst low temperatures you usually get there, early mornings for the lows?
Well, of course, over the winter, we got snow around Christmas, and then it froze and thawed and then froze. So we're looking at minus 2 degrees centigrade, which is about 30, I think, Fahrenheit, something like that. But that was the lowest it would get to. So.
Okay. Yeah, it's pretty bad, though. Pretty rough enough, I mean, yeah, we'll get that in. Well, when I was in Chicago, I would get that every so
Chicago's,
often.
Chicago's different, yeah.
Yeah, just the wind patterns, it really gets extremes of everything throughout the year.
Yeah, out on the coast, it tends to be milder here. So in the Midwest there, it's brutal. Manitoba, North Dakota, Ontario, yes, of course, Saskatchewan, deadly. deadly mm-hmm. places to be.
I can imagine.
If you're not
yeah.
protected. Yeah, in the winter.
Oh, yeah, sure. Oh, yes. Yeah, even like North Dakota, Montana, I mean, the amount of snow I hear. Yeah. So even further up there in the mid.
Well, when the wind comes over the Great Divide, you know, on the 49th parallel, it shoots up. And, of course, everything south of the 49th goes down. So the wind actually expands probably when it crosses the 49th. When that wind expands, then it cools off even more. See?
Okay.
Well, it's, don't worry about that. It's just some useless science.
Well, you know, yeah, just getting a bit of a gauge of your area, and just a nice opener for the discussion here. We'll see if Paul is able to join. A little bit of a tech issue there. I don't know. I was about to mention a bit from Michael Schneider on this environmental disaster in East Palestine, Ohio.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
I don't know. Did you want to say anything about the war Ukraine topic, or rather this train derailment and the likelihood of how dangerous, how poisonous everything is?
You know, yeah, sure. And Walter Cronkite back in the 60s was going, is the war in Vietnam winnable? This is the question we have to ask. Well, okay. No, Ukraine can't win. Sorry. It's physically impossible. Remember when Germany attacked Russia, okay? They were a couple months into it, and the Germans are already halfway to Moscow, right? And they were down there at Stalingrad and up there at St. Petersburg, you see. So I don't see the Ukrainians. They say these people are Nazis or they're neo-Nazis. They're nothing like the Nazis, okay? They're nothing like the German Wehrmacht, okay? So everybody just forget about that.
Right.
Just forget it. Forget it, forget it, forget it. I mean, it's amazing what people believe.
As far as how formidable an adversary, both in technology and training, as well as just their true moral standards in that. I mean, you know, there are good examples. Mm-hmm. I heard someone mentioning even recently where, I mean, if you look at how civilian populations or captured armies were treated by Stalin compared to by Hitler on average, you know, I mm-hmm. mean,
well,
that shows a lot.
Well, let's put it this way. If I'm in Kyiv or whatever they call that place, and I start my tank up, the Russians can hear it back in Russia because they've got the satellites overhead and they've got AWACS. They've got technology that wasn't around in 1941.
Hey, listen, right? I see the break is upon us already.
Okay.
Here. Why don't we just continue that
sure.
On the other side? Sounds good. We'll be right back.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Thank you. Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
We're back, folks, beyond the official narrative. Republic Broadcasting, Richard Carey, now with my regular Monday co-host, Paul Edward Stevenson. Hey, Paul, good day, sir.
Yes, good to be with you belatedly, Richard.
Indeed. Yeah, good conversation with Patrick, I heard on your broadcast last night, and yeah, a lot of interesting points there. I was mentioning how Patrick seems very, very apocalyptic, you know, very negative toward expecting a global confrontation. I was just mentioning similarities and differences with James in Vancouver here. At least Hitler had, you know, the technology, the training of the people, Italy, Japan. Zelensky has nothing to invade Crimea except force everyone else to jump in to his rescue, you know, kind of like if Israel were to attack Iran, I was saying. And James, I don't know if you wanted to add to what you were mentioning when we got to the break.
Well, I was just thinking, if the Ukrainians could bore a tunnel underground, maybe they could get into Russia. But then you can still hear that boring equipment. There he is, Elon Musk, the boring company. Maybe he could do it.
So, Paul, at this point on, I know you've been trying to keep some sanity too, and it's great that you've been spending time in northern Italy there, and kind of just getting away from all of this a bit. You need it, but I don't know as far as the tone, sentiments over there, and what do you have to say currently on the war drum beating?
Well, pertaining specifically to this, Ukraine nonsense delusion, or sorry, the Crimea delusion, even Anthony Blinken, of all people, you know, the secretary, I think what's his official title, the Secretary of State over there, I think. Not that long ago, and I mentioned this, with Patrick, that, you know, he's on record as saying that he's not encouraging the Ukraine to attempt to take back Ukraine, and more or less, I'm paraphrasing, that if Ukraine wants to do that, they're going to have to do it on their own. So, you know, even with you know, the support of the U.S. and an increasingly fractured NATO. This, to me, to my mind, seems absurd. I mean, the Ukrainians are struggling to survive. They're not in any position to be taking back anything. You know, they are defending for, you know, with the skin of their teeth, what territory they have got. Particularly, you know, it's been eaten up in the east of Ukraine. So this is all bluster. It's all desperate propaganda, I think, to keep the spirits up of people who are in denial and still think that we live, still think it's the mid-90s and we live in this unipolar world. Well, the world has changed, and I think, you know, the US and the NATO countries better get up to speed with this, because they're still throwing their weight around as if it's 98 or 95 or 2001. And, you know, the world has changed. Russia is now aligned very firmly with China. They've got India in this sort of alliance as well. And this is a huge problem for the West. And you see in the US over there surrounding China and the South China Sea as well. And I think this is all going to end very badly for the West, you know, because they're biting off more than they can chew.
James?
Well, it's a new world with China becoming so advanced technologically and in terms of production. And, of course, Russia is Putin's policy, apparently. I was talking to a guy a couple of days ago. He's from China, and he said that what Putin wants is all the lands ceded to the West, let's say, in 1989. Those are the Kazakhstans and those places. He wants them back. Okay. That's what I hear from my Chinese buddies up here. Mm-hmm. It's a new game for Putin.
And Zelensky was suggesting if the U.S. stops backing Ukraine, that their status in the world will change, almost implying that the U.S. dollar's dominance could be affected or something. And others, I think Robert Ravolt was mentioning this as well. Well, when this all ends, the European Union would love to be the digital reserve currency, if there were one, for the Western world as a whole. Yeah. And so to bring down the status of the U.S. military, could that really ultimately affect the U.S. dollar's role as far as in, you know, the international currency with trading and oil and what have you?
Well, yeah, absolutely, because then that would mean that the U.S. aren't tough enough to crack down on countries that want to use other currencies to trade in, especially the Chinese yuan and the Russian ruble. And hey, then there's always the Swiss franc. Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, well, why don't you stick around with us today? We'll try to take another call. We'll keep you on, though, James. We have Art in Georgia. So we'll be right back, folks.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream, or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
And we are back, folks, beyond the official narrative. Republic Broadcasting, Richard Carey with my Monday co-host, Paul Edward Stevenson. And we also have James in Vancouver joining us today. But I want to take a call. We have another caller in queue, and maybe we could hear your feedback to him as well, James. We have Art in Georgia on the line, so let's bring him on as well. Hey, Art, hey, welcome to the show. How you doing today? What's on your mind?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Wanted to talk a little bit about this Ohio spill. And this was something I came across in my research about what is vinyl chloride. Now, vinyl chloride is what was supposed to be in those tanks. But upon some research, I found out, you know, this is like stupid flammable, this vinyl chloride. Super, super flammable. But what happens, here's the unique thing, what happens when you burn it? Bet y'all don't know what happens when you burn this stuff. Do you?
Get fuzzy.
There you go. One of you did figure it out. Yeah. And for all intents and purposes, this phosgene is, for all intents and purposes, it's a type of mustard gas. Now, what I want to know is, what is this stuff wired? When you look at the videos, nobody's in hazmat suits. Nobody's worried about getting burned by this stuff. So that just causes me to wonder, is this really what they're claiming to be? Or is this something to distract us away from what we should be paying attention to?
Well, I'm not saying it's
not a bad spill. Because, yeah, it's a bad spill. It's getting in the water table. It's polluting the air. It's flying over Pennsylvania in the cloud, in the smoke cloud that's being burnt there. It got chemicals floating there into Pennsylvania. I mean, this is serious, serious stuff. And those landowners, they got nothing.
All right. With your science background, James, I don't know, how would you respond?
Well, the gentleman could be right. It could be some kind of diversion. And how do we know what those reporters and all of their reporting and, you know, whether they have hazmat suits, whether that's faked as well, you see? We'd have to really be on the ground ourselves to check the story out. So,
true.
So the caller could be exactly right, because at this point, we're not there, you see. But if you burn vinyl chloride, you will get phosgene. And so go ahead.
And that stuff is, that stuff will seriously do, that's phosgene. How can they justify what's going on? I don't see, if they're going, walking around there with no hazmat suits, like nothing ever happened, like it's all good and glorious, that just doesn't make any sense. If it's vinyl chloride, it makes no sense at all. This is the one thing, this is the only thing that causes me to raise questions about this, because in the research, phosgene, you've got to wear a mask. When I was in the military, all right, they would holler gas, and there was a process we had to go through to get our gas masks on and functioning. Because back in those days, they really did use some nasty stuff on us. I don't know what they use today when you go through the gas chamber, but with us, they used some nasty stuff. And we always had to, none of it was like vinyl chloride. So if they wouldn't use vinyl chloride in the military back then, you know, and knowing what it does, but yet nobody's wearing suits. This is the thing that gets me. Nobody's wearing suits. How can it be what they claim it to be if nobody's wearing suits? That's why I think it's a distraction. And they've done drills on this before. Whoa, really? How many times have we seen this happen? Where they run drills on something and then suddenly all of a sudden it goes live.
Yes, indeed.
So you make a lot of good points.
If it were, I'm sorry, go ahead, James.
Call somebody in East Palestine. Call that town and ask the nature of what's going on. Are people dropping dead? You know.
Yeah, you know they won't tell me anything. What are they going to tell me? I'm a nobody.
Well,
you know,
as far as they're concerned,
I'm a dumb. As far as they're concerned, I'm a dumb redneck who lives out in the middle of the darn woods. That's all I am to them.
Yeah, well, I understand. Right, but you never know. You know what I'm saying. It's a possible to learn something, maybe.
But anyway, I just wanted to throw that out for consideration and see what y'all thought. And y'all, I appreciate, this is my first time listening, Patrick, so, and I'm liking what I'm hearing. Anyway, y'all have a great day, man.
All right, thank you, Art.
Thank you. I
appreciate it. And if it were to be what they are purporting, you know, as much a contaminated area, toxic chemicals in such amounts, could it all be accidental that they made the wrong moves, even in deciding to burn it? What, we're supposed to believe a bunch of diversity hires like this Buttigieg and, what, you know, so the various gay and or people of color hires, hirees in positions of management or decision-making wouldn't have people over them who would, if they know they're really just diversity hires, you know, make sure that they're doing what is right. I have trouble believing that, it could just be due to mismanagement and people who just don't know any better. Just like with the mRNA shots, in general, I mean, because that's too much of a go-to. You know, I don't think just negligence or anything. There is intent certainly there. And here, well, it's a lot of good points that we're hearing all around. Paul, I saw you were having a connection issue. I don't know if you're okay now. You haven't maybe heard too much about the contamination. We've had a few derailments. Suddenly, not just that one, suddenly all a few of them, like three or four, and with the contamination that we're being told about, I don't know, what do you think? You know, could it be a distraction?
I must admit, I'm aware of it, but I haven't, kept up to speed with it too much. I mean, what do you think it's a distraction from? Just give me, what your angle on it.
Well, no, I mean, this is just, I'm just, mentioning what I'm hearing around here. James, what would you speculate it might be a distraction from?
Well, I believe that they deliberately pulled this job off, that they deliberately sabotaged the tanker cars, and I believe they burned the vinyl chloride, because I believe this is consistent with what I've been hearing about bumping off chicken ranches and destroying food processing plants. And if that is true, then this is certainly, this Palestine, East Palestine thing is certainly consistent with wrecking the nation, namely, in this case, the Ohio River Valley, whose land speculators like Soros would like to buy for 2 cents on the dollar. So I believe that they want to get people off the land. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, here, let's go to the, we have another caller on. If you want to stick around, though, to field this call with Paul and I as well. Charlie in Florida. Hey, Charlie. Hey, welcome to the show. How are you doing today? What's on your mind?
I wanted to comment on the last caller a little bit. I was watching this from the very beginning as if it was to see if it was, a false flag type event, because there were a lot of things around it that kind of made me suspicious. But anymore, what I've been doing is I've been watching this ever since it started. I've been watching to find out if the reports of people being sick and things like that were verifiable and were real. And I am seeing that a lot of these reports, that, for instance, a couple of people have reported in that they've been having blisters in their lungs, have reported to the hospital, and they said they were due to chemical burns in the area. But I wanted to comment on James's topic. I believe it's 100% was done on purpose. I can tell you, there was a farmer who was out of the area, and he owns a farm pasture right next to where the tracks were, where they set it on fire and everything, and where it wrecked at. And he was out, I think it was in New Hampshire, but he was just now allowed back to his pasture, and he went back there, and guess what he found in his pasture? He found a dynamite cap.
Whoa.
Okay? Yeah. And so what I think happened was, you remember they saw the flames and all that, and they knew that was going on, and that's supposed to be reported, and they were supposed to, stop when those things happened to check them out, and they didn't do that. I think that what happened was, when this thing wrecked, for some reason it was supposed to explode, okay? And for some reason, maybe that's why this, but it didn't, and this dynamite caps and stuff like that ended up in his pasture. He reported this, and they told him, they said, well, just turn it over to the government agencies, and he did. But he said they asked him why they were there, and he said they didn't have any clue. But it looks like to me that the thing was supposed to explode when it crashed. It didn't do it, and so they sent these people in there. And see, the people that went in there, they said the reason they set it on fire was because they were worried about the fires around the tanks causing it to overheat and explode, right? Okay, well, why didn't they put the fires out? Are you telling me they didn't have shovels, that they couldn't just, cover the surrounding fires with some dirt, and they didn't have, a few fire extinguishers on them, So that didn't make any sense, right? That makes no sense at all. And then they called the governor. So then they leaked the stuff out, and they called the governor and asked him if they should set it on fire, right? Well, what were the else with? And the governor said, that they should set it on fire. Well, are you telling me the governor didn't have people that he would question as to the, dangerousness of being able to set this stuff on fire or not? None of this story makes any sense anymore, other than it was they were given permission because it was supposed to be it was a planned event that did go the way it was supposed to, and so they drilled holes into the stuff and then set it on fire. You know, that's about the only thing that makes any sense to me at this point. And I do believe it's real, because I do believe that the reports I'm seeing from injuries around the area are real, because I've been following it pretty close, because I was suspicious that it might be a false flag event at the very beginning, but I don't think it is.
All right. Well, no, thank you. Great information. Great call. As always, Charlie, I appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you.
Yes, sir. There's a couple other in the queue. Lark in Texas, a fellow RBN, a longtime host. Lark, hey, welcome to the show. What's on your mind today, sir?
Howdy, guys. Shout out to my old friend Art in Georgia. He has it exactly right. We can find it, for example, in places like Zero Hedge. The title is East Palestine Launched a Digital ID Program Days Before Disaster. So we're all being flim-flammed here, guys. Once again, anything that it's on the Jews News or the Talmud Vision, you can bet there's a lie somewhere contained within. And the best thing that any of us can do is not to react whatsoever to anything that makes it onto those platforms. So there you have it. It's all about digital ID. Read it and weep. Thanks, guys.
Well, thank you. And I fear you may be 100% correct there, Lark. Murr in Wisconsin. Hey, hi, Murr. Welcome to the show. How are you today? What's on your mind?
Hi, guys. Yeah, I heard Art, and I just want to tell him, and I don't know if Lark remembers too, but that you, Richard, have a chat room. It's beyond the official narrative, but the way to get there is beyondton.chatango.com. So there's a couple of us in there now. And I think this isn't as serious. They're using it for fear-mongering and the ID, but it was also on a satanic ritual holiday. So don't run, people. Don't evacuate.
Which holiday is that? Which satanic holiday?
It falls on February 2nd usually, but they, you know, drift from one to another. Let me look up the name of it again.
Oh, really? The same day as that they made Groundhog Day, you're saying, was a satanic holiday? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Huh. But the third, they vary, you know, back and forth, you know. I'm trying to remember the name of it.
Let's hear from Paul. Would you like to respond to Murr, Paul?
I don't know. I'll have to wait and to see what Mayor reveals about. I'm not aware of specific satanic holidays or anything. You know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one of the things I was going to mention that I think, and certainly that's genuine. There's no doubt about that. Is what these maniacs did with the Nord Stream pipeline. And I honestly think that they've bitten off way more than they can chew with that. I mean, that is such a Jewish audacious move, this kind of recklessness that the Victoria Nulands of this world have, and any government which is dominated by Talmudic maniacs. That's the type of thing they do. And that's just unacceptable what they've done with that Nord Stream pipeline. And, you know, this is going to cause huge problems. They're not going to get away from that. I actually think you're going to see a series of events over the next few months which will be designed to distract from that, because Russia has already called the UN to discuss it and for an investigation. America are denying it, and they're saying that they don't want an investigation. But they cannot be allowed to get away with this. This is a step too far, and people need to be seriously accountable for this, because it's an act of terrorism. It's also an act, it's an act of war, and it's an act of war against an ally in Germany. And the Germans are out in the streets at the minute protesting against this continued support of Ukraine and about the Nord Stream pipeline. And when they get rid of those little puppets, Baerbock and Scholz in Germany, and get some real people in there, what you're going to see is you're going to see Germany realigning with Russia, and then you're going to have a very precarious situation for the United States regime, because you're going to have Germany, Russia, and China all aligned. And that is the end of the United States Empire and the British Empire, who are aligned with them, because this is just way over the top. So things are changing fast. There's a lot of protests going on in Europe at the minute against, you know, it's frustrating that it has to take this long. You know, we always talk about these things right at the start when they happen, and then we have to suffer it watching people, you know, supporting the next thing. And then eventually over here, for example, you get Nigel Farage is usually the first person to, you know, tentatively put his head above the parapet when he's watching a few, you know, people, maybe listens to shows like this. I don't know. And then eventually you see people brave enough to start pushing back on it. It's a shame that it usually has to take 6 months, 8 months, in this case, a year, for people to start saying we need to, have a debate or start looking at this whole thing with this constant unchallenged support for the Ukraine, you know. But this Nord Stream pipeline thing, that's not going to go away anytime soon.
James, would you like to add something at this point?
Well, yeah, I would, because I think that is Victoria Nuland's and all these people working for Biden, they're very childish, they're very greedy, and they're so driven by their childishness that they are making very, very serious strategic errors. And I agree with Paul 100%.
So do you want to know, February 2, Candlemas or Sabbat Festival, and I put the link in the chat, and it goes into some of the things there, blood ritual, animal or human sacrifice, and it's also called the Satanic Revels, where they do other...
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Do you think that the shots that they're giving to people now and killing people, that would be a sacrifice too, wouldn't it?
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, the poisoners. This is what they do.
Yeah.
You know, and right. They blend it in with the different dates. I mean, all through time, the numerology and everything else, the astrology and, you know.
What about when Moses left ancient Egypt? I think that Moses and his bunch, they actually poisoned the ancient Egyptians. It wasn't the messenger of God, like they say. It was just simple poisoning.
Well, you know, the messenger of God can be like God working through people.
The angel of God, the angel of death.
Right, the angel of death or whatever. Yeah,
yeah, right.
Yeah. Right, and they're
poisoning.
Supernatural, but the people, you know, he works through them, whether it be for what appears to be evil purposes, he has his own purposes.
Well, yeah, okay, well then, yeah, all right. But I'm just saying, look, bring it back to today. People are dying of these shots, you see, and why?
They volunteered for it. This is important. They want people to volunteer for it. See, because they do all the fear-mongering. When this first started on Stormfront Radio, I kept saying, people believe this virus is everywhere at once because Bill Gates is involved and his viruses are everywhere at once, right?
Well, some people, not everyone volunteered for it. A lot of people are actually forced into it, because if they didn't, they don't have a job. I know quite a few people who said, listen, you know, I had no choice, mate. You know, my business was destroyed by the lockdowns, and then I had to take a job that I didn't want to take, but I needed to, you know, keep a roof over my head, so I decided to take the vaccine. So, you know, they actually created a circumstance in many ways with the lockdowns, destroying people's business, and actually made people, a lot more susceptible to taking the virus, simply to survive. Because at one point, there was a lot of companies saying, if you don't take the vaccine, you're not working here.
But still, it's a choice, Paul. It's still a choice. You know, this is a test of faith. I mean,
it might become worse than that.
But not everyone's a Christian.
I mean, I've heard in Brazil, the current new leader in Brazil is forcing everyone to take the shot in the near future. I don't think it has anything to do with job or government benefits, potentially beyond that, at least the way it sounds, at the very least, if you're getting anything from the government.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, there's a lot of coercion involved, my point, you know?
Oh, yeah,
but
you're right.
I mean, what we see in Canada, Australia, Brazil, I think that's coming to the rest of the Western nations if they have it their way. And I think Lark's onto something, is the digital ID. And, you know, I mean, that with the social credit score, that's how they can merge everything.
Mm-hmm. But apparently the cryptocurrency has been kind of shut down a bit, right? That the fiat currency is kind of winning out over it still right now. So, you know, there's pushback.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a certain percentage of the population that was already there, during the COVID thing, and that has increased as people have learned more about it, that actually would have to be tied down and be forced the injection into them before they would take it. And that's going to be a problem. You know, if that number is big enough, this is going to be a problem. They don't have enough people to enforce that. They might be able to try it, but... too many people have died, too many people have adverse reactions, too much information has gotten out there now since this. So, you know, good luck. I think the uptake of people volunteering to take vaccines going forward, even amongst the usual kind of virtue signaling people who support the next thing, whatever it is, even some of those people have died and have had injuries, of course. So I think there's going to be a lot of reluctance when it comes to the next vaccines, of course, unless they release something which is actually genuinely more threatening, unlike what COVID was, which does worry me, because we've spoken about that before, Richard, where they might, engineer something out of some lab somewhere, which actually would be, dangerous. And then a lot more people would be susceptible to taking the vaccine, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, right now, Biden's trying to fast track without approval from Congress this control over pandemics. And if the World Health Organization gets that, I mean, we're already hearing them hype up bird flu, basically. So
yeah, and there's another one as well. I can't remember the name of it, but there's another one floating around, pardon the pun. And that does worry me.
Thank you. Stay away from the media. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Mer. Have a good day, James. And thank you, as always, Paul. I'll have to talk again soon.
Thank you. Yes.
All right, folks, please support RBN to keep all this possible. Go to Republic Broadcasting. Look at donating any ways to help us out, and we will speak again soon. Transcend the construct. Here we go.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.